Amen. Okay, so I want you, we'll see, what a week. Tomorrow, we might not be here tomorrow, right? So, my title is, Are You Scared Yet or Are You Already Awake? So, let me just say something about fear. How many know that fear is a pretty powerful thing? And if anything, COVID sure taught us that how many people were running in fear. And some still believe that that little thing over your face will protect you from this virus, and or that these shots really are vaccines. So many things, so fear-driven. Somebody can be all vaxxed and boosted up, and yet if you haven't had the shots, you're a threat to them. How does that mean? And people were divided, churches were divided, families were divided, and it was fear. And I've said this before. Others much smarter than me have said the same thing, that I believe 100% that COVID was simply a trial run to see how easily they could manipulate people and use fear. Fear and lies. Who was it? The guy out of Russia, Solzhenitsyn. He spoke to his out of Russia, speaking to his comrades as, before he was driven out of Russia. He said this message about the key line is live, not by lies. And there's a book written by Rod Dreher about that. And in fact, there's actually a crowdfunded movie that's being produced by that same people who did The Chosen. Called Live Not by Lies. And so, anyways, it's interesting, too, that I believe this was a way of finding out who are the people who are going to stand up so we could then target them and silence them. You know, that there's an Antichrist spirit in our world today. Of course, there has always been an Antichrist spirit. The Apostle Paul writes about that. But it is really taken its place, and I believe there was a real brash arrogance of that spirit, whatever you want to call it, portrayed last Sunday as even the President of the United States in a official constitutional role proclaimed the Resurrection Day, the day of visibility of people who are confused, at least, and they need help. They don't need more chains to keep them in their delusion. But so instead of being influenced by fear, we need to be informed by our faith. Amen? Amen. And the Word of God is sets you free. Knowing it, following it sets you free. And Jesus is all about that. They say knowledge is power and courage is courageous. How about if anybody should be courageous, it should be the people of God who know the Word of God, who know their God. He created this, and everybody else is subject to what He says. I don't care how long somebody's been in office or been a dictator or whatever it might be. They're only there as long as God says it's okay, and then He's done. Right? That's our Father. That's the one that we serve. And so we need to stop being afraid of other people's response. And I've said this before, and as a pastor, I feel that very much, because nobody, as I've said earlier, you don't want people to walk out because of what you said. But then, quite frankly, if you're at least getting a reaction, that's not a bad thing, right? It's one thing to preach and preach and preach, and no, everybody just kind of lethargically sits there. At least say something that'll stir people up, right? That's either fire or flee, whatever it might be. It's that kind of stuff. In the light of tomorrow, I just felt I needed to kind of try to address this, and I know we're going to eat, so I'm going to, because again, this is a fearful thing that people so many people, I think the greatest threat to the church right now are the erroneous prophets and prophecies that are out there, the stretched things. And I might be wrong, but I think we'll be here tomorrow. I think we'll still be here. But let's, if you got your Bible, open to Matthew 5. And let me see if I could just, Matthew 5, verse 10. This is one of the verses about how you and I are so blessed in this day, and we have the opportunity to be really, really blessed as in this way because of how far our culture and society and media and have gone away from the principles of Scripture that founded our nation. We have an opportunity to really be blessed. Not in a way you probably wanted to be, but anyways. Chapter 5, verse 10 in Matthew says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." He says, "Rejoice and be glad." I'm sure you're always rejoicing and glad when somebody slanders you and those things, right? Yeah. Right. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We have an opportunity to stand in this day in a sense without seeking it, but that we will receive a prophet's reward if we just don't back down from the truth we know. Right? The next thing he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." What's happened in parts of the American church, we've lost our saltiness. That preservation of truth and holiness and righteousness, because we wanted to be accepted, or we've just kind of walked away from the Word of God and just whatever it might be. Back, you go a couple generations ago, the church was highly influential in society, in politics, in the media. Man, I mean, the Hollywood producers would check with, like, the Catholic Church, for example. Is this scene okay? No, they have to have separate beds. Remember that? You know, I Love Lucy, you know, and I mean, but that was driven by the influence of the church of the day, and the media paid attention to that. Do you think that's happening today? No. In fact, there's quite the opposite. In fact, there's a trampling. There's a disregard and disrespect for the church, right? Who we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're being trampled by men, right? Because we, so many ways we've lost our saltiness. We can't do that, especially when we look at our kids, right, and our grandkids. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for them. They're going to live in the debris or the delight of what's left from our efforts here. And our efforts need to be such that we leave for them, at least that they will not be ashamed or embarrassed that we lived when we did, that we left them an example to be followed. Verse 14 goes on and says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." So stop it. Stop hiding the truth that sets people free. "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and give praise to Pastor Tim." No. The point is to give praise to your Father in heaven. If you're new here, we talk a lot about that. I believe that our destiny is that God gets glory out of our lives. God gets glory out of what this church does. God gets glory out of your family. God gets glory out of the work that you do, the things you say. That God gets glory out of whatever you can go through horrible things. That means any part of your life is ready for God to get glory out of it, good or bad, healthy or not, rich or poor, right? As you walk with Him, God's going to get glory out of it, because those are opportunities for God to show up and show how faithful He is. And then you can point people like this to see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen? So these are really important things. So what do you think about this? I want to just address this. I want to say there are people out there who I think their whole online presence is to find anybody they can call a heretic, a false prophet, and try and, you know, I don't think that's a good mission statement or focus. I mean, we need to discern the truth. We need to call out the false teachers, but our goal can't be to live our life so we find all these false teachers and that's all we ever do. I don't think that's helpful. And quite frankly, I believe that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who believe the wrong thing on certain issues. That doesn't make him a false believer or a false prophet. It means him a child of God who doesn't quite understand that thing properly. Right? Now, there are false prophets, but a false prophet is somebody, I believe, who's driven by the devil himself, who actually knows he or she is false and is playing a game, whether they realize it or not, working to bring division or their own agenda, and they have nothing, the Spirit of God is not in them whatsoever, but they're playing a game, and that's a different thing. But so, just there are some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who I believe are bringing confusion, and I just want to, this one guy, I want you to say his name. He has a YouTube channel ministry. I'm sure he's a great thing. But regarding the solar eclipse, I just want to just address this. There are some interesting things happening. He talks about that there. He asked the question on his broadcast that he just had. He said, are the seals of Revelation being opened? He actually says, like, is the second one about to be opened? I didn't know the first one was opened yet. Maybe it, you know, so... But he's, you know, so you understand where he's at. And he makes a good point. You know, you've heard about the CERN Hadron Collider. It's in Switzerland. I don't know how many miles it is. It's underground, a big circle thing. And the idea is to try to find the God particle, right? You shoot these, what are the photons, protons, electrons, at super light speed in opposite directions in this huge underground tunnel. And hopefully that at one point they believe that the creation, the Big Bang, was a couple of these protons came and collided in just the right combination. Boom. And then that was the Big Bang. I think the Big Bang was God said, let there be light. That was the Big Bang. And if you were in our Defending the Faith group Wednesday or Tuesday night, you had great Frank Turek. There's some great teaching on that. But and so that's going to be fired up tomorrow. And the concern is, and this is not the first time it's been fired up, but the concern is they're looking to try to create dark matter, discover the history of the universe. But one concern is that these, what are the, what's the area of science, the physics, or it's... quantum physics or something like that, they're afraid they might open up a black hole. You know, if they do, we're okay. You know, because everything gets sucked into it and we go to be with Jesus. So this could be a good day, you know, this, you know, spend it well, you know. But so they're concerned that's going to happen tomorrow when this solar eclipse happens. It's also, people go, oh no, NASA is sending 3 rockets at the moon tomorrow. Well, yeah, they're sending them out there at intervals to measure what happens in the atmosphere. They're called sounding rockets to what happens in the atmosphere when there's a solar eclipse. They're not trying to attack the moon. You know, it is interesting that these are called, this process is called the atmospheric perturbations around eclipse path. Who names things like that? Except the acronym, the initials spell APEP, APEP, which is the Egyptian god of chaos. So that is rather interesting. And it wouldn't be the first time that NASA or CERN used a deity such as that for their thing. And just for your note, in Egypt, Apep, this god of chaos, was the nemesis of the solar god Ra. So in Egypt. Of course, we know that those are not real gods. But anyways, so he makes this point about these things happening. He talks about how, you know, from schools being closed, the state officials recommending you stock up on essentials, and a repeat. He says this is a repeat of the exact conditions that set off the largest earthquake in the history of the continental United States back in 1811. He says, you don't want to miss my broadcast. The other thing is the devil's comet is coming tomorrow too. Devil's comet. Now, number one, astronomers named the comet, not God, and they named it because apparently it looks like it has some horns. Okay, it is coming tomorrow, all right? not nearby, not to a, you know, to a galaxy in near you, something like that. So this is the, maybe you've seen this diagram, you know, here. This was 2017, the total eclipse. It went right here, right? And tomorrow it's going to go across here. This is like, I think, somewhere around Eagle Pass and up through, New York, Maine, Nova Scotia, and that kind of stuff. Center's here. Pick a town where the center is, because I've listened to different people, and four different towns have been mentioned in there. One of them, I remember, is called Rapture, Missouri, or something like that. Yeah, what a place to live, right? But there's the New Madrid Fault right there, and that was the centerpiece of this earthquake. So just a few points that they make here. They said in this one, in the 2017, this crossed seven cities named Salem. And Salem means peace. And they would say it was the early name of Jerusalem. You know, Melchizedek, the high priest that Abraham met, and after he defeated a king and set Lot and his family free again, he gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, who could possibly be an Old Testament either example or maybe an appearance of Jesus. We don't know. But he was the king of Salem, which they believe was Jerusalem. So this idea of peace here. Exactly what that means. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Salem of Jerusalem. Does that mean that? And going on, all these things, that's a nice thing, but I don't know what that means. And then you got here, it's going to go through, now some say it's going to go through seven towns called Nineveh. There are only six, and I think a couple of them are actually outside, on the outer edge. It is nearby, all right? And there's one town, I don't know if it's somewhere around here, named Jonah. It's going to go over Jonah. In fact, also, it's going to go pretty close, right around in Kentucky, somewhere right around here, pretty close, not in it, but close is where the Noah's Ark replica is as well. These are all interesting coincidences, aren't they? All right, so that's interesting. We know the story of Nineveh. Jonah, he was a reluctant prophet, to say the least. God said, go up to Nineveh and tell them the message I give you. He says, forget that. I'm hopping a ship and getting out of here. You know, spend 3 days and nights in the belly of a big fish, a whale, maybe a whale shark or something like that. And then he rises again, right? Not very gloriously, vomited out on a beach, and then ends up walking quite, probably a couple hundred miles, ends up in Nineveh, tells them 40 days, the judgment of God is going to fall, and these are the Assyrians. Understand, if you don't know who they are, these are the ISIS of their day. They were horrid, violent, vicious. They did atrocious things to their enemies, just like we see in ISIS. And so the Israelites hated them for good reason. And so Jonah said, forget that. I don't want, because we know later when they repent, the king leads the whole people, even their herds and flocks. Everybody has to repent and wear sackcloth, don't eat or drink. Maybe God will have mercy on us. May we hear that come from our leaders. Amen. And God spared them. And Jonah says, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to go, because you're merciful. And I don't like that about you when it comes to my enemies. So that's the message of Nineveh. But the point is, there's this 40-day thing. And it's interesting that tomorrow, if you go 40 days from tomorrow, you have the eve of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, right? And so some are making a connection there. And so what does that mean? Does that mean maybe we've got 40 days to repent as a nation? Either awakening, God has mercy on us in 40 days, or judgment come on this nation. I can't tell you. But I don't need that to tell me America needs to repent. Yeah, I don't. I just have to look around, and I can see that these are the last days of the last days. You talk about the what central bank digital currency, how that is starting to take over. How China is really. We've got fools. Either they're foolish, or they know exactly what they're doing back on the other side of this country, destroying this nation, bringing this nation down. And don't think I'm getting into politics. I'm talking about the gospel going around the world, because we, the United States, sends the gospel around the world four times more than the second nation in the world. And the devil knows that, and he's all upset about that. And so if he could take America down, he could just do a major blow in spreading the gospel to the lost around this world in this last day. So anyways, so we know that the time is short. We know what's happening. With the World Economic Forum just driven by really some real twisted, I can say perverted leaders. If you've seen what Klaus Schwab does out on these gay beaches, what he dresses like, these are just really twisted people that are out there that are being followed by world leaders, big billionaire people with influence, driving people, and even our own president wants to turn over our sovereignty as a nation to the World Health Organization, the globalists is all there. So we know we need God to move in this nation, and it's not going to move through anybody else but the church. So the church has to be revived. We have to be awake, and we have to come back to our first love. Amen? And recognize we need each other, you know? Okay, you might still have your church there, and I have mine there, but we need to get together for something bigger than just building our denomination. Our nation is at the precipice if she's not already on a free fall. So I don't need this. I don't need to see that to tell me we're in trouble. But people are, there are some bloggers, vloggers, whatever they are, who are just looking for something to just ramp up their likes and their subscriptions. And, you know, it's all about getting more people to watch. And I just want to get more people right with God and get the Spirit of God, the presence of God, to settle upon this community in a way that we cannot continue to deal with, hide our sin and be complacent about the lost anymore, or complacent about our own complacency. We need something that shakes us up. I don't need an earthquake to shake me up, you know. And I don't want to be careful here. But I am concerned. I have a lot of brothers in ministry and who love God and share the same vision in this area here, and yet there's some other ones that I know just as well who just like shut down. This is not the time to do this. Let me just try to. Let's talk about something real quick. This whole idea of Pentecost. Did you know that there are three Easters this year? I mean, technically. If the Jewish calendar, if they recognized Easter like we do, you know, like the Sunday after Passover, there would be three Easters this year. Because the Christian church, we have our, what are we, we're with the, run by the Gregorian calendar, yeah. All right? And so we just had Easter last week. But the Orthodox, like some of our Ukrainian and Russian friends live back here, their Easter isn't until May 5th. And then, but even then, the Jewish Passover is not on either, doesn't connect with either one. So they're in the middle between April 22nd to April 30th is Passover. So who's to say that which Pentecost is, personally, I would rather align myself with the Jewish calendar and say that's probably when Easter should be and count 49 days later and now you've got you've got Pentecost, but whatever. Anyways, I only share that because we have to be careful with all these people trying to draw all these symbolic, prophetic pictures from dates and things that, or I think this means that, and those cities mean that, and this, okay, maybe. But we can get so caught up in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus ascends to heaven, and they're looking up. Wow, where'd he go? The clouds are behind, you know. And one or two men appeared. Hey, what are you guys doing looking up there? The same Jesus who went that, he's coming back the same way. In other words, go do what he told you to do. Like, go pray, go wait for him, like he said. And I'm afraid that we can get so caught up in looking up there, looking at these signs and things that we forget while we're here. And we get distracted in those kind of things. An interesting thing about this New Madrid fault that is right here, the 1811 was, there were actually three earthquakes. But this is, let me just cut to the chase here. The eclipse, I'm trying to say the eclipse happened and this terrible earthquake happened. It sounds like it all happened at the same time, right? The eclipse was September 17th of 1811. Then this comet came through. What was it called? It's called the Great Comet came through, okay? And it had a diameter of the head bigger than the sun, and it was visible for about 260 days. Wasn't more than any other comet until 1979 or 97 when the Hale-Bopp one came through. It started in October of 1811 and went through sometime in 1812. And at one point, it looked like it was kind of like spiraling and even then homing in on the Earth. The path it took around the pole, if you were in the right latitude, you could see it for 24 hours somewhere in the sky. So you've got your eclipse, September 17th, 1811. You have this comet, the Great Comet, appears shortly after that. It appears for about 260 days. And one said it was brightest during the earthquakes, which the first one was December 16th. So we're 3 months after the eclipse was the earthquake. So why are we talking about eclipse and earthquakes that are going to make Spokane have waterfront property? I'm not kidding you. I've seen this stuff. You know where all of the left coast is gone. You know, and I can see God's judgment. But, anyways, be careful here. So let me show you some things here. So here's the actual path of the 1811. The eclipse. Notice where it went through? Like North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and then kind of down through the Mid-Atlantic, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, those kind of places, and out that way. Here is another one. Why don't we talk about this one? This was in 1806. Look at this one's path. The total eclipse there. Here's February 12th, my wife's birthday, by the way. Only you weren't around in 1831. So this is an annular solar eclipse. So that, I guess that means the sun is blocked out, whatever. Anyway, so here's the path it took. This is like Alabama and Georgia. And it all right. Now look at this. 3 years later, they had another eclipse, and it crossed right here. And that is, it's hard to see that, but that's just on the eastern edge of Alabama, but the central part near the Georgia border. So look at that X, and now look at that X. I mean, it's just shifted. Instead of being here, the X is just up here. Yeah. But anyway, and the earthquakes that happened, there was one in December, 8.0, wrecked, is huge. Then there's another one in January, 7.8. And then the big one was February 7th, 1812, 8.8, largest ever. And that's the one that destroyed the city of New Madrid and upheavals, you know, send the Mississippi River going backwards about 300 miles, created a new lake there in Tennessee. You know, a lot of devastation happened. But notice that was February 7th, and the eclipse was September 17th. So I just want to just like, look, can we just take a break here from all these prophetic people? Like, oh no, we got to be worried. And one of my kids was really, really stressing out that tomorrow could be the end. And then seeing things like this, and I'm going to try and wrap this up. Yeah, you better, because we got to eat. I want to hear this. There are things that are being said that there's a new apostolic reformation. Anybody familiar with that? NAR, new apostolic reformation. Let me tell you, it's a big deal in a portion of more of the charismatic Pentecostal, charismaniac church. The idea that we will take over this world, the Seven Mountain Mandate, we're going to take over each area of society, and then we're going to bring it to Jesus, and then basically we'll have a world that's serving Jesus, and when he comes back, we'll hand it back to him. This has been around since the 80s, in fact, probably more so, but the idea that this financial collapse, I believe that our economy is going to collapse. I do believe that without a miracle of God, our financial system is going to collapse, and those globalists, socialists, Marxists, they want that to happen because that's their chance to take control. And that's where we got to know our God, right? And it's also wise to, like, know what you need to do to maybe prepare. This is not like some scare thing. This is a reality. But this guy says, he says, God told me. God told me. He didn't say the Bible says. He says, God told me. He said, when God collapses the global financial system, it will take power away and set the captives free. You look at the history of nations, it was the collapsing of the economy that gave the totalitarians power to rule over the people, right? So that's wrong. So that the first thing is going to happen is financial collapse, and the whistleblowers are going to come out. Then the people are going to stand united. He says the globalists will lose their power. Global chaos will break out. Then next, God uses America to restore order. Revival breaks out. Harvest of souls come in, and God's completion number, and the world is saved. I like that message. But we're studying Revelation even right now on Wednesdays, if you'd like. And I think the Bible paints a very different picture of the last days. In fact, we know Jesus even said in regards to that, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And so many things like this. Even if you hear this phrase, he said, well, we can repent and receive the wealth transfer and the Holy Spirit, or refuse to repent and receive judgment. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be discerning and let the Word of God tell us what's happening, and not just the latest, greatest prophet out there. I don't care how well they've done, how much you've liked them. This is what has to drive us, right? Maybe you could say, well, we had a prophecy that said this. We had a prophecy that said that. Great. But does that align with the Word of God? Are you adding things? And I hear these people beginning to say more, God said, well, you know, God said. They're not talking about the Bible. They're talking about a prophecy that somebody said way back when. Now, we get into trouble when that begins to happen. In fact, I believe we could be if we're not careful. And in fact, going back to 1811, just the last thing that I'll close with a scripture. When the earthquake finally hit, the first one in December, they thought the comet had crashed into the earth. And they didn't connect the solar eclipse with the earthquake. It connected the comet. They felt the comet's appearance. I just say all these things, like, can we just, like, stop all this fear-mongering about the solar eclipse tomorrow. We're going to, you know, we're going to have a horrible earthquake tomorrow and all. Listen, God is in control, and right? And we need to trust him. We can't let ourselves be driven by these fearful things. Even if they claim to be followers of Jesus and they've heard a word from God, okay, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, right? And be a church that, like even Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, let every prophecy, let someone give his prophetic word. And that's not like this, not like a predicting the future, but a word. But he says, let every prophecy be judged by the hearers, right? And how much we need to do that. And just if you look in your Bibles, and can I have a couple guys help me with the table, the communion table? Okay. You guys coming up? All right. I'm going to pass the elements out. Go ahead, and I'm going to want to start passing. Thanks, guys. So I'd like to just, as it passes, if you'd like to take communion with it, you don't have to. This is for followers of Christ, and you're not sure where you're at. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be part of this. But this is what we want, what we'll do together today. So go ahead, guys, just take one each. And that's right. And go ahead and take it and then hold it. And as I just finished reading here out of Romans 13. All right, go ahead, guys. Yeah. Romans 13. Apostle Paul, it's some great, starting in especially chapter 12 of Romans, there's some great final directions that, boy, if that's all we had, we would certainly know how to love each other and be the people God's called us to be. But in chapter 13, starting in verse 8, just about a handful of verses, then we'll have communion, and then we'll partake. So I know while that's passing, if you can keep your attention to me, because I'd be insecure if you don't listen to me. Verse 8. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Right? In fact, the Bible says that Jesus said, love is the fulfillment. The biblical form of love is the fulfillment of the law. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Verse 9, the commandments do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And then he says, and do this, understanding the present time. Do we understand the present time? That the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We need to wake up from whatever slumber, because our salvation is truly nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're going to participate in communion together here. This is not a time to be dishonest or try to secretive with God. You don't have to necessarily lay your dirty laundry out for everybody to hear, but this is a time where we are, before we partake of this, we're going to be honest with God in our own hearts. Amen? Because we are in serious times, and Jesus needs a real church that really loves him and going to trust in him. Thanks, Lauren. Yeah. Verse 13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Amen. That one song we sang about surrender, I will make room for you. This is my surrender. We probably could even pause at that point and just had communion. Good. Okay. All right. We got some more coming? Okay. Okay. We'll share. Won't you come up with me, hon? And so, I guess I just want us to take this with a little understand the gravity of the moment, right? I'm not playing church. I'm not going to play church here. I walk in this dirty world like you do, and I understand the mess you have to walk through. So, and I've said, if you're new, I've told people before, yeah, I'm a pastor, but I'm a sheep. Sheep like anybody else. Unfortunately, I've got more accountability before God than you do, and that makes me very much afraid. Hopefully in the right way. But this is just not a time to hunker down and keep our heads down, right? And it begins by us humbling ourselves before God. I said, God, cleanse me, use me, and I give you myself. I give you my life for your purposes. And if you can say that, just want to hold that bread up for a moment. And Father, we're not going to be on any kind of ceremony or anything. We just recognize, Lord, the urgency of this hour, the confusion that's out there, and what you've called your church to. We are the only answer to this nation. We are the only hope for America and for the lost. We are, because we have your message. Now, Father, would you fire up your message in us as we make room for you and surrender ourselves for your purpose. And as we partake in this symbol of your body, that we give our bodies for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Partake of the bread. Thanks. And likewise, the bread is like the commitment of ourselves to him, but the blood is the basis of our ability to do that, because this is where our forgiveness of sin is. This is where all of the past is washed away. It really is. That the things that wanted to keep you down, Jesus buried that. And death that wanted to hold you, he defeated that. Amen? And it's all because of him. Not by work that anybody has done. So stop trying to earn it again. Sometimes we get saved, but then we try to keep earning it. We don't do well on something. Then we think we're a failure. And Jesus said, your salvation is not based on your performance. It's on my grace and the blood of Jesus shed in your place. And he walks with us through life. So let's just thank him for his blood. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that really washes away our sin. The Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, defeated death and the hell, and even the sting of death, Lord, has all been defeated for us. And so we don't need to fear this life, and we don't need to fear death. And I pray you help us to just understand and really grab hold of what that means for us as your people. And we're going to give you praise, and we just take this in remembrance of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the cup. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. And I know I've kept you. But we're going to eat anyways, right? So let's. But I just, if those connection cards, if you made a decision about the Lord, or you want to ask me any question, you want to connect with me, that's what those cards are for. And you're welcome to put them, like you said, in the offering boxes there. We'll collect them later or you hand them to me. Just if any way that you would like to connect with us, we want to do that. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. And we just pray, Father, for just the ability to understand your word and to and to draw close to you. I pray for just as your body of believers that we would really commit ourselves, God, to your purposes, to your body, to your word, and awaken us, Lord, to what's going on around us, and help us to be part of those efforts, like Karen's ministry that you've given her and others similar that are seeking to reach out and do those things right now that need right now as well. We just give you praise. Father, we pray your blessing on our time around these tables and this food that will follow. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right.